The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we read verses 1 through 12 and then 32 through 48. And the text this afternoon is Luke 24 verses 36 through 46. We will not be rereading that section. Luke 24, we begin at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Then we have the account of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his companion. We skip over that section. We pick it up at the end of that section at verse 32. Verse 32, and they said one to another, Cleopas and his fellow disciple, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And now begin the words of the text. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. So far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. The text is verses 36 through 46. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that first Easter Sunday was a day that ended with great joy and celebration. But that first Easter Sunday was also a very, very long day. It was a day that began with much weeping and sorrow. It was a day that began with great fear and anxiety. It was a day that began with feeling lost and confused, feeling that everything had been in vain. We read in the Gospel account of John that even at the end of the day, after the sun had set and the disciples were together, we read that the disciples were huddled together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. That's how the day went for them. But throughout the course of the day, strange news also kept coming to the disciples. Appearances, they were told, of the risen Christ. First of all, there was the appearance of Jesus to Mary Magdalene. John chapter 20. Mary Magdalene had come to the sepulchre all by herself after having run back to the disciples to tell them that the sepulchre had been broken into by thieves. Jesus appeared to her, and she at first thought that he was the gardener. But when Jesus addressed her by name and said, "Mary," then she knew right away it was Jesus. And Mary then went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. And we read from Mark's account that when the disciples heard that Jesus was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. And so they continued in fear and anxiety without any peace. Second of all, there was the appearance of Jesus to that group of women as they were returning from the sepulchre after they heard the news from the angel that Jesus was risen. And Jesus said to them, "All hail, hello." And the women, we read, fell at his feet and worshipped. And then they too went to the disciples and told them what they had heard and seen. And we read from Luke's account that their words seemed to the disciples as idle tales, and the disciples believed them not. Third of all, there was the appearance of Jesus to Simon Peter. We don't hear anything about that appearance that took place. We simply learn that Jesus appeared privately unto Peter, either that morning or afternoon. And we read from Luke's account, that Sunday morning or afternoon, and it must have been an appearance in which Jesus comforted Peter and spoke words that restored Peter to his place among the disciples after Peter's great denial of Jesus. Fourth of all, there was the appearance of Jesus to Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus. And that appearance was later on in the afternoon, close to supper time. And these two disciples were troubled and perplexed about all the things that they had heard and all the things that had transpired over the last few days. When Jesus finally revealed to these two companions who he was and then suddenly disappeared from their sight, these two disciples decided that they needed to go back to Jerusalem and tell the other disciples that very night. And we read that when those two companions came to the disciples, the other disciples were finally, at the end of the day, starting to believe in Jesus' resurrection. Because they were able to say to those disciples, as we read in Luke's account, "He is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon." Evidently, Peter's account of Jesus' appearance was worth more to the disciples than the account of the women and of Mary. But even then, late at night, we read in Mark's account that when Cleopas and his companion told the disciples about how they had walked and talked with Jesus, the disciples still weren't really believing. The disciples rejoiced in the news. They said, "The Lord is risen indeed," but they weren't really apprehending it and believing it like they should have. They were still full of doubts and confusion, even as their fear was giving way to excitement. But it's right at this time of the night, probably late at night, maybe around 9 o'clock, as those disciples were huddled together behind locked doors and sharing the news with each other, that we have the final appearance of Jesus that day. His appearance among all these disciples together. There could have been a group of around 20 or 30 people in that room where the disciples were gathered. And into that room, Jesus entered and he communed, he fellowshiped with the gathered church and spoke peace unto them and opened their hearts to the reality of his resurrection. And it was then that that day, that long day, which had begun with such heavy weeping and sorrow and fear, it was then that that day finally turned into great joy and excitement and peace for the church as the disciples communed with their risen Savior. Well, this morning we share in that same joy and excitement and peace as we rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ too. And we commune with him this morning through the preaching and through the Lord's Supper, and we hear his word of peace spoken to us this morning. We take as our theme, communion with the risen Christ. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, a wonderful encounter. Second, a comforting word. And third, a beautiful opening. The room in which those disciples were gathered was buzzing with news. In fact, we could imagine the scene in which Cleopas and that other disciple come to Jerusalem and knock on the door where the disciples were hiding. The disciples unlocked that door very carefully, let in these two disciples that they knew. And these two disciples, you can imagine, they're full of excitement. They're bursting at the seams, ready to tell the glorious news of what they had witnessed. And we read that before these two disciples even get the chance to tell the others what they have experienced, the others tell them, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon." So we can imagine all kinds of activity as the people are talking over all the events, rehearsing all the facts and the things that they heard and saw. Talking over these things, perhaps also as they sat down for a late supper together. For those two disciples from Emmaus, they still didn't have supper yet, did they? So John and Peter, tell us again, just how were those grave clothes lying when you entered in the sepulcher? You say they were lying just as if Jesus passed right through them? And the napkin was neatly folded off to the side? What do these things mean? So Mary, you said that Jesus said to you that he shall ascend to your Father and to his Father? What does that mean, he shall ascend? Travelers to Emmaus, you actually walked with him for 7 miles? And then you sat down to eat with him and he broke bread and then he simply vanished? What do these things mean? Oh, they enjoyed talking about all these things, but they didn't understand it. No one could deny these things. Multiple accounts, independent accounts. But they didn't understand it. And we can understand that as the disciples were thinking about Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the idea must have formed in their minds that Jesus' resurrection might have been something like Lazarus' resurrection. But that's probably exactly where the confusion also was for them. Because if Jesus rose from the dead just as Lazarus rose from the dead, how could he come and go just like that? Lazarus couldn't do that. If Jesus rose from the dead just as Lazarus did, Why would he be making all these appearances? Why doesn't he just come to the disciples right away and stay with them? Things are obviously different now with Jesus than they were before. And then perhaps as all the disciples talked, one of them piped up and said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It doesn't make sense." And they were humming and hawing over what to think of it all. And then as they were talking, all of a sudden, Jesus appears in the middle of them. In Luke 24, verse 36, we read, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." And we read that they were terrified and affrighted. They thought they had seen a ghost. And they are bewildered and confused. They are troubled. And so Jesus shows them his hands and his feet and the scars from his hands and his feet. And we read in verse 41 that the disciples still believed not for joy. They couldn't take it all in. They believed, and yet they can't believe it. They don't understand it. And then Jesus, as if that wasn't enough, he says, "Do you have any meat?" And we read that the disciples, perhaps just as they were also eating amongst themselves, they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and part of a honeycomb. And they stand there with their jaws dropped. So happy, so confused. This is Jesus, all right. This is not a ghost. He's eating bread. That's exactly why Jesus does that, to show them that he is there in the flesh. But how? And we read from Mark's account that Jesus upbraids them. He rebukes them for their unbelief. Well, how do we explain it? Well, the fact is, it's a wonder. This is not just like Lazarus raised from the dead. Jesus' resurrection is more than just a resurrection. It is a transformation. Jesus is risen to immortality. He is risen to a glorified body, a body in which there is no death at all. Death cannot touch him anymore. It is Jesus' body. We see the scars. But now it's a spiritual body also. A body fit for glory. He's changed. He's renewed. He is perfect. Because he's come forth from the grave as the one who has obtained the victory over death. He's come forth from the grave as the one who has destroyed the power of sin and death. He has left behind that state of humiliation, and he has entered into, and God has raised him up unto, the state of exaltation. Their Savior was alive. Alive forevermore. A wonderful encounter. And without wasting any time, Jesus gives them that comforting word. Peace be unto you. This comforting word is the word of the resurrected Christ to the church on that first Easter Sunday, and it is the word of the resurrected Christ to the church also of today. It is a word that goes hand in hand with the reality of his resurrection life and his resurrected body. Those words of Jesus, "Peace be unto you," that's not just a friendly greeting that Jesus gives, like saying "good day" or "how are you?" Rather, this is Jesus announcing to his church that she has peace. In John's account, Jesus repeats it numerous times. "Peace be unto you." This is Jesus announcing to his church that she has peace, and his resurrection is the proof of it. This comforting word of Jesus is really the counterpart to what Jesus said on the cross when he said, "It is finished." Through his death in our place, making the sacrifice for our sins, Jesus has obtained peace with God. Our sins have been atoned for. The price has been paid. Therefore, our sins can be forgiven, and they are forgiven. We have peace with God. And now as Jesus makes his appearance in the midst of his church, he says, "Look, I am resurrected from the dead. This is the proof that you have peace. This is the proof that it is finished." This is the gospel. The heart of the gospel, the most joyous news in all the world, that we, that you have peace with God. So that God, instead of being hostile towards us, God, instead of having his curse upon us, God instead smiles upon us. God brings us unto himself with joy, embraces us, and calls us his children. Instead of counting us as his enemies, which he would if we were yet in our sins, he calls us his friends. And he communes with us. And his resurrection is the proof of it. This is the word of peace that was first pronounced on Easter Sunday. But it's the word of peace that's pronounced upon God's church every Sunday. Do you notice that, congregation? Are you aware of that? Every Sunday, it's spoken to you at the very beginning of every worship service, and it's spoken to you at the end of every worship service. At the beginning of the worship service, God addresses you. He says, "Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ." And then we respond and say, "Our help is in the name of Jehovah who made heaven and earth." And then God comes to us and he says, "Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and Jesus Christ his Son through the operation of the Holy Spirit." Peace at the beginning of the worship service as we enter his fellowship. And at the end of the worship service, Jesus gives his blessing and he says, these are especially the words we have in the morning, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." His parting word, as it were. Congregation, this is what Sunday is all about. That's what Sabbath rest is. It's a peace that God pours out upon his church, especially on the Sabbath, on Sunday, the day that he rose from the dead. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday we celebrate the risen Christ. We celebrate his victory over death and the grave. We celebrate the peace that is ours, that we can fellowship with our triune God. That's why we worship on Sunday. It's a celebration of the rest we have in Christ. On Sunday, Jesus says to us, "The work is done. It is finished. Now go forth in this week, not thinking about laboring to merit, but laboring in love as the response of thankfulness." Jesus says, "Peace be unto you." Sunday is the day we close our stores, we park our trucks, we put away our school textbooks, we stop the earthly entertainment, and we gather with God's people and hear Jesus say to us, "Peace be unto you. Rest with me." And the reality is, Jesus has not missed one Sabbath day, one Sunday, for 2,000 years. Every Sunday he appears with his gathered church, with the people who have an interest in him and who love to talk about him and who love him. And he speaks words of peace unto them. How troubling it was for doubting Thomas, wasn't it? Who missed Sunday and had to go that whole week without peace. That's what he went through that week. Not having any peace, not having his faith strengthened either. That's why we also pray at times for those who keep themselves from the divine worship services. We pray, "Give them no peace," so that they might feel their need for Jesus and come and enjoy his Sabbath rest. This is the peace we have of knowing that God is our Father. Some of us perhaps are anxious and disturbed. Some of us perhaps are worried about this or that. We sometimes feel very overwhelmed. We sometimes feel as if all these things are against us. We feel as if everything is in vain. Feeling just as those disciples must have felt throughout that day. It's all in vain, and now the leaders are going to come after us. And the risen Savior comes to us and he says, "Peace. Peace unto you. Your times are in God's hand, and God is your Father. You need not fear. Be anxious for nothing, but pray. Because God is not against you. He is for you. There is peace between you and God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ." And this is the peace that Jesus speaks to us and works in our hearts, not just through the preaching, but also through the sacraments and through the Lord's Supper. That's why we celebrate. That's what we celebrate in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Jesus' body was broken. His blood was shed for a complete remission of all our sins. Remember last week's sermon, the preparatory sermon? Those daughters of Jerusalem were weeping over Jesus. And Jesus says, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." And the word that Jesus speaks to his disciples and to his church and to us this morning is this: don't weep, don't fear, don't grieve. I am risen. Rather, sing for joy and shout for victory. Celebrate. My peace I give to you, peace that will last to eternity. And he comes to us and he communes with us as his friends. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. Having a meal with the Jesus who is victorious over death. But congregation, as the disciples heard these words of Jesus and as they saw him before their very face, it seems that the disciples still didn't fully appreciate it or understand it. Perhaps we can imagine they were struggling to take it in, looking at Jesus with blank stares. And we read then in verse 45 that this is what Jesus did. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. That's very beautiful. That's very striking. Jesus directs them to the Scriptures and opens their understanding. What a marvelous event that moment must have been for the disciples. A beautiful opening. To have Jesus open our understanding so that we see the Scriptures, we understand the gospel and what it is, and we can see it with the eyes of faith and embrace it. You see, it wasn't that the disciples could actually see Jesus in front of them that really gave them the occasion to celebrate. It was not that they could actually touch Jesus with their hands. That's not what brought the victory of the resurrection into their souls. Rather, it was Jesus imparting the gospel to their hearts, opening their understanding to the Scriptures. And just so, physically seeing Jesus without illuminated minds will not profit us. Physically eating Jesus at the Lord's Supper is not going to profit anyone. And it never happens either. But having Jesus pour out the gospel into our hearts and souls, feeding on Jesus Christ spiritually by faith, that's what gives peace. And that's what we also have this morning. That's what Jesus is doing this morning through the preaching, opening our understanding, strengthening our faith, causing us to see him spiritually. And that's what he does also in the Lord's Supper. He opens our minds. He gives us to understand what the Scriptures are all about. And then he speaks those words right to us. My friends, my beloved ones, your sins are forgiven. My body was broken, my blood was shed, that you might have peace. You have partaken of my death. You also are partakers of my life. Victory is yours. Glory eternal is yours. Peace be unto you. Amen.